You're listening to Bands and Botanicals, a unique podcast where trainer and trainee discuss fitness, herbalism, and healthy habits for life. We're your hosts. I'm Paula Kirsch, owner of Botanically Curious and artisan herbalist.
And my name is Danielle Kreese, certified personal trainer and owner of DC Fit. Now, before we get started, if you could do us a brief favor and go to Apple Podcasts and just leave us a review, we'd love to hear from you. And with that being said, let's start the show. Hello, everybody.
Hey, everyone.
Welcome back for another traveling episode, Bands Botanicals.
Yes.
Before we get started, though, we just wanted to remind you for our Southern Oregon, our local listeners, if you want to go on our Instagram and our Facebook page, you're going to see that we have a giveaway going on right now because we have a tea and boot camp event coming up.
Yes.
So Paula and I are collaborating, we're joining forces to bring something nice to you guys, especially going into this wonderful weather. It's going to take place on my property. And if you leave a review and follow a couple other steps that we have posted, then you'll be eligible to win some goodies and also a spot for free in the boot camp and the tea program.
Yeah. I guess. And Danielle will be posting a video onto Instagram. So you can see her brand new outdoor workout space, which I love. It's really fun. She's got some tires and some other big things to play around with to make it. And it's shaded, which is fantastic, especially because we're going to start getting into the warmer weather. It's going to be fantastic to actually get out and meet with people. So the event is May 2nd. You have about a half of a month, a few weeks to get in there, drop us a review on Apple iTunes. And then hopefully win a chance to come for free. We're going to have some really fun stuff. Or you can also register early for the event online and you'll get a really cute little fitness, wellness, whatever gift for those that are going to be attending anyway. So make sure if nothing else, you sign up early.
Yeah, I'm really excited to share this space. My husband has been working nonstop on it. I've been able to put in some time and some hours with him as well, just moving material. And it's just really nice, especially now that the season is shifting. It's just really nice. We're surrounded by like 100-foot trees, cedars and Douglas fir and some pine. And it's just nice to be out. And yes, it will be shaded for anyone who's interested. It's funny that that's like such a highlight for you, Paula, because I always wait for the hours of the day that it's not shaded to do my workouts outside because I'm just like, sun, come into my body. But yeah, it'll be lovely. So go ahead and check that out for us. But before we get started, Paula, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm excited. We're going to have like 80 degree weather.
I know.
So getting a lot more done in the garden. It's been touch or go for a little bit. You know, we had a guest on the show talking about some of the issues they have in Texas with the frost and everything, but it feels like the mornings have been so cold, you know, with frost. And so it's really hard to grow, especially from like seedlings this time of year. And so it's been a little anticipation for this nice weather.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I cannot wait for 80 degree weather.
Yeah.
I think I already have plans to go to the river. I just need to immediately be by some water and in a bathing suit.
Yeah.
Yes, the time has come. And speaking of being in some warm weather, our country that we're going to be talking about today is Jamaica. And I kind of really wanted to talk about this country personally because Jeff and I had the privilege of living there for about 6 months. And we had someone who is really close to us who actually has owned a house there for about 25 years, and they live in Nine Mile, Jamaica. So that's actually where Bob Marley was born. So it's in the mountains. It's deep in the mountains. It's not necessarily a place people have normally stayed overnight. There are a couple things popping up, some really incredible things actually popping up in Nine Mile. But for the most part, it's always been like a kind of a day trip destination for tourists because they have a Bob Marley mausoleum and, you know, that they have his bed and kind of the place that he gained a lot of his inspiration from. And it's such an incredible spot, and it's filled with such incredible people and such incredible food. And, you know, it's just a near and dear place to my heart. And Paula, you know, she has so much knowledge about so many different things and places that I knew she'd be able to pull from this. And so that is why we are here today.
Yeah.
Because Jamaica is the shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really nice. I'll be focusing on spices because, as we've talked about in the podcast before, food is medicine. And so when we talk about herbalism, easiest way to incorporate that is just putting spices into your food. And if you know anything about Jamaican cuisine, there are spices, lots of them.
Yeah, just one or two. One or two. Yes. We definitely had the privilege of cooking with some people who are living around us and being a part of just like neighborhood cookouts. I mean, and by neighborhood, it was kind of like a block party. 9 Mile feels like it's only like a kilometer long or something. Mm-hmm. It's right there and then it's gone if you blink your eyes, but it's such a lovely place. And the food there was as legit can get. So I'm really excited that that's kind of a focus we're taking today as well and kind of switching it up a little bit. And I will actually be talking about an herb myself.
Yeah.
It's a tree. It's moringa. I'm really excited to talk about it. It's the little bit of information that I can give in this regard. And then also I'm just going to be talking about a few kind of destinations you could go to specifically in Jamaica that yield a little bit of fitness involved and kind of strength and some movement. And then also just some ideas you could take with you out onto the beach, because for a lot of people, that is one of the main reasons they go to Jamaica, is to be by that water. Mm-hmm. So without further ado, let's get into some of these cooking spices, because that's what I'm kind of hungry and that's what I'm excited for.
So we talked last week about Ayurvedic medicines and things, and polyherbalism, which is really combining herbs together to get a really full benefit to those. And I've mentioned on the show before phytochemistry and how important that is into herbalism. And really the phytochemicals within spices is what helps them to improve our health. You know, anti-inflammatory is the biggest one when we're talking about these spices today. Jamaican cuisine, you know most likely that they're gonna have bay leaf, cinnamon, clove, scallions, garlic, ginger, a lot of warming spices.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the time.
Definitely.
And to kick it off, to kind of tie in the Ayurvedic medicine into Jamaica, we're going to be talking about curry powder for the first one. And that is because it actually came from East India during the British colonial period. And now in Jamaica, it's kind of been localized and embraced within the culture. The slight difference there with the curry in Jamaica is that it has allspice in it. So it's got a little bit more of that warm kind of clove to it. But anytime I think of Jamaican cuisine, you know, they have curried goat, curried shrimp, curried chicken, you know, it's all of those different things that come together. And with some curries, you'll find things like turmeric or curcumin in there. And those are the things that are going to help you, or anti-inflammatory when you were talking about warming up the body and kind of getting things flowing, that's going to allow you to be less stagnant within your body. And so that's why it's really helpful to kind of warm the body at times. We've talked in the past about bitters and spices and how important that is. And so just getting that variety within your diet and making sure that you're eating healthy and it's fun.
Yeah. I mean, I have to definitely second that curry is a prominent cuisine there. I mean, curried goat. I remember I was there when one of my best friends got engaged, and that was the meal for the evening, because that's kind of a celebratory meal for people. And oh my God, the amount of pumpkin curry soup mm-hmm. that we made was far too much. It definitely got to a point that we had to take a little break away from the curry. But at the time it was amazing. So I love that that was brought up. And also that you brought up kind of the turmeric that could be involved in that, because for many people who live in Jamaica, especially if they live in more rural parts of Jamaica, which is largely the country, they're probably doing a lot of farming and a lot mm-hmm. of, you know, walking up. I mean, people go to Jamaica and they go to the beach, but there's also, it's quite mountainous. And, right. and I mean, that was kind of part of our movement, and I'll get into that a little bit later, but the healthcare system isn't quite the same. To just pick up Advil isn't quite the same. So to be able to incorporate herbs that are going to have those anti-inflammatory effects that are going to be able to support the body is, I think, paramount. And it's probably what the people of Jamaica have been doing for as long as they've been there, because you know, it's not quite the same as it is in the States. So they need to support their bodies in different ways, and it's usually natural way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sweet. Well, I kind of wanted to jump in with my little two cents about a nerve. Now, this is going to take a break from food for a second, but I was really excited about it, and I'm actually going to be posting a couple of videos that I made when I was living in Jamaica, because Jeff and I were just kind of trying to share our experiences and sharing some aspects of farming that we were learning ourselves, and Moringa was high up on that list. So Moringa, if you don't know, it's actually from India as well, so it kind of ties into that Ayurvedic medicine and that connection that we keep finding. And it's now found globally because it's a hardy tree. It's a tree, by the way. It's a hardy tree. It could grow in a lot of different places. So it's something that has been prevalent now in many different cultures and areas. But I learned about it in Jamaica. I think it's one of the most beautiful trees. The way, you know, the leaves are so delicate and the way that they shake in the wind. And I know that sounds a little bit cheesy, but when you have like a whole little mini forest or kind of like Moringa farm, it's just such a peaceful place. So even if you just wanted to research Moringa or have Moringa around you for the beauty of it, I think that that could benefit you. Just sitting amongst Moringa personally brings a lot of peace to me. So with Moringa, one of the most amazing things about it is it's known as a miracle plant and it's known as a tree of life. And that's because from root to flower, every single part of the Moringa plant can be used. It's packed with vitamins A, B, C, D, and E. And you can find this all in the videos that I'm going to share. It also has minerals such as potassium, iron, calcium, selenium, magnesium. It's rich in amino acids, which isn't something that is normally found in other plants. And one of the cool things is that, you know, since you can eat the leaves and you can eat them fresh, you could kind of eat them the way you would spinach, but it has three times the iron of spinach. So that's going to help with those energy needs. We talked about some of the vitamins and minerals that were involved, and that kind of brings some health into the eyes and vision health and hair, skin, and nails. Now, I did mention that you could use every part of this tree from root to flower. So if you wanted to use the seeds, you have to be a little bit careful with the amount that you take because they can act as a laxative. So this could be, obviously, if that's not your intended purpose, something really uncomfortable. But if that is your intended purpose for some gut health, for maybe some movement and some help with your digestion, then the seeds of Moringa can be something that you could utilize. You could also press the seeds. You may find it now in facial skin creams and stuff like that, because with the oil that comes from those seeds, it's good for cell production and regeneration. And I think that Moringa, if you look around any health food store or even a grocery store now, In the tea aisle, when you're looking at supplements, when you're looking at powders, Moringa is something that I've even found in like a CVS and in stuff like that. So obviously make sure that you're getting a quality product, but it is something that's readily available now. And if you just open your eyes to it, you know, it may just not have been something you've ever heard of, but it's really powerful. I think though, one of the coolest things, and I don't know if you've ever heard of this, Paula, but Moringa is great for water purification. Now, I'm not telling you to go grab a big glass of water from a river, put a couple leaves in it and drink it and hope for the best. But we had on the farm that we had, so we lived on this big property. This man had actually befriended Sadella Marley, which was Bob Marley's mother. He was a contractor, so she had asked him to come to 9 Mile and help build his mausoleum. He fell in love with 9 Mile and fell in love with the community and the people that he didn't just want to live there, but he wanted to find ways to help support them because a lot of the livelihood of these people was stripped because of aluminum mining. So they like decimated the hillsides and the mountains, and that really affected the soil and their farming. So Peter started bringing in and teaching them how to farm using greenhouses and got this whole program going with the government. And then he also was bringing in and creating these big kind of like fish farms, I guess you could say, just to bring in something else into this community, because like I said, they rely so heavily on farming. And I mean, so heavily, like they have, I mean, they had a couple of restaurants that weren't open every day. And it took us about 3 hours to get groceries because we'd have to take a taxi and who's our dear friend and go down the mountain and then do it and then go all the way up the mountain. So basically they need to have ways to support themselves within the community.
Right.
So he created these hatcheries, but this was also kind of a learning process for him as well. He's been doing this for 25 years, but he's been evolving and his hatcheries got contaminated. They just started growing a lot of algae. They started getting really dark, like the water, you could not see through it for anything. So the people of Jamaica or the people of Nine Mile told us that the moringa could be used for water purification and to just cut some trees down and literally throw the stems, the branches, the leaves, the roots, every single part of the tree and just throw them into the water and just kind of have them on top of the water. And I shit you not, that water became so clear. And I obviously, I didn't personally test it. I couldn't tell you in that regard. But just from the visuals, it was such a huge difference. And it honestly blew my mind. It blew my mind that we did absolutely nothing, no chemical whatsoever, except for the utilization of this tree. And it completely cleaned these ponds. So that's a really incredible use for it. The leaves can be used for smoothies, teas, salads. Like I said, you could use them fresh. You could dry them up. You can ground them up. You can make it into a face mask. I love moringa. If I could grow moringa here, and I've actually looked into it, and I don't think I can because I think it gets a little bit too cold.
Right, yeah.
I honestly would. I wish I could have moringa around me 24/7. I think you should look into moringa. And that is my herbal wisdom. That's literally the extent of my herbal wisdom, apart from what Paula has taught me. So I will now pass it back.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, it brings me back to Monica Gigliano's book that we've mentioned probably in maybe episode one or two.
I think you mentioned it a couple times.
The books, Thus Spoke the Plant, where she's mentioning how there's such a knowledge within the nature around us, especially when it's native to the place where it's at, because it knows how to take care of its environment because it's important for it to grow. And so like even just remulching moringa back into the soil to bring back that nutrient into the soil and the cleaning of the water and all of those things, you know, even just with Native American practices here and making sure that you have trees planted along the riverbed so that way there's not as much erosion. Like nature really knows how to take care of itself if you don't get in its way to ensure the livelihood of itself, you know? And so it's so beautiful to see that, that kind of whole life cycle happening. And yeah, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, it was one of the coolest things I think we experienced was watching that water purification. And even though this has nothing to do with what we're talking about, I'm going to bring it up anyways, really quick. But just what you were talking about with nature supporting itself, that's like the, you know, the roots and stuff that create these huge ecosystems underneath us. I mean, even if Jeff and I recently had to clear part of our hillside just for forest fire safety, just clearing all the dead stuff and whatnot. And even if we had to cut a tree down, we if it was a relatively established, we tried not to completely rip it out so that the root system still kind of stayed intact, because those are communication highways.
Oh, yeah.
And it just goes back to this idea of what Paula just said, that nature knows how to take care of itself. It knows how to communicate. It's so much wiser than we realize just because it communicates differently from the way we do.
Yeah, I love it. And the fact that it's the tree of life, you know, all those things you talk about, the vitamins, the minerals, in a place that, like you said, the healthcare system, it's something that the community desperately needs. And so it takes care of itself. It takes care of its people. And I think that's awesome. So going back to just the people and the cuisine and some of those things, we mentioned allspice a second ago, or pimento. There's a bunch of different names for it. But I love this one, and I love that it is in a lot of the cuisine. So the pimento is actually a big evergreen tree native to the Caribbean islands and Southern America or South America. And it's fantastic in terms of health benefits. So just the essential oils alone attribute to antioxidants, antiseptic, carminative, which is that warming, relaxing, stimulating, and then it's just a general tonic in general. So when you're talking about dried pimento berries, you can take those, dry them, and then they kind of look a little bit like dark peppercorns. But it's one of the staples of like jerk cooking. Mm-hmm. So that's another one you talk about Jamaica all the time. It's like jerk chicken, you know, all of that. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely had to make sure. Yeah. And the wood from the tree of the pimento wood is usually used to smoke some of the jerk meats itself. And so this is kind of neat. And so it's using all the things utilized within the trees and cooking the cuisine from kind of start to finish in that way, which I think is beautiful, really, just to see. And so they'd stack the sticks and the wood over the heat, and then you put the kind of meat on top of that, and then just let it kind of smoke, and it all infuses within itself. So I think that's really neat, and that's a fantastic one. And so allspice, I think for the most part, people have used it once or twice, if not all of the time, depending on how much they like it. But it is, like I mentioned, kind of warming. You're talking about like clove, cinnamon, you know, some of those attributes of the cardamom, and then the pepper. So you're getting warm. I love the combination of warm and hot together in spices. You know, I'm not a fan of like super spicy just for the sake of being spicy, but when you put that warm, that clove, some of that cinnamon kind of attributes, flavor, smell, it's fantastic. I like the fact that, you know, we talk about the tree and the actual authentic aspect, because I'm sure there's different varieties where people mix spices together and then you can buy those as well. But getting something more authentic and using that in the cuisine and seeing the difference, I think is fantastic.
Yeah. I know that we have ackee on here, which I think is a cool thing to talk about because, you know, a couple of things we've just been talking about have been meat focused, I guess. And ackee is actually something that a lot of the Rastafari eat throughout Jamaica because it's kind of a works as a vegetarian meal.
Yeah, definitely. Like the equivalent of it, I guess, would be jackfruit in India and things like that. We use that in vegetarian or vegan cuisine. And so this is really neat. And so it's a red kind of fruit. To me, it looks a little bit like a bell pepper on a tree, but not necessarily. It's got more of a tip to the bottom of it. But you kind of pop that open and you've got this white flesh with kind of like a weird black thing. It looks a little bit like a grub. Like
yes, it does look like.
Creasing out a little bit. But it's actually really fantastic, high in fat. It has been used like for commercial soaps because of that. And there's a ton of different vitamins. So you're talking about calcium, potassium, magnesium, zinc, and vitamin K. It actually has a very high level of vitamin K within it. So fantastic for overall kind of health and making sure that you're getting a variety within your diet, especially as a vegetarian or vegan, when you're not necessarily getting some of those vitamins and minerals from things. And so the trees, the fruit from the trees have been used to treat fevers, cold, water retention, because there's a little bit of a diaphoretic kind of effect to that. The fiber actually is fantastic. In most vegan and vegetarian diets, you're going to be getting a lot more fiber, or you should be getting a lot more fiber. So that's going to help reduce your cholesterol levels, which is great, lowers inflammation, cramping, constipation, all of that stuff that happens, and just generally boosts your immune system. So like you mentioned with vegan, vegetarian cuisine, it's a fantastic one to get into. I am partial here for like sweet potatoes in the States and some of those things, but this is a fantastic one that I incorporate along with like jackfruit and things like that.
I had it when I was with some people who were vegetarian, and I'm not gonna lie, I stuck to that jerk chicken quite often. It was freaking delicious. But it was great to kind of know that that was available and to just test it out because it is such a representative dish in Jamaica.
And it's something that really needs to be flavored. And so it pairs really well with the community and the culture where there is that spice involved because you're not going to grab it off the tree and eat it raw because it would be poisonous. There's actually a specific way that you would want to boil that and then take the flesh from the fruit and eat that. And just incorporating some of the complementary spices and, you know, scallions, like we mentioned, in a lot of the culture and cuisine that's used. And then we're going to be talking about some other spices like Scotch bonnet peppers. And that's a really great one to pair. Now, because it's a high fat kind of vegetable fruit, you would most likely pair it with a lot more protein to kind of get that benefit. And so we're talking about like saltfish is one of those things in Jamaica. And so that's something that you would usually pair well. And so it's nice to know that there's a method to the madness. Like you start seeing all these traditional meals happening that allow you to get more nutrients and more variety from, you know, the local land.
Yeah, no, it kind of reminds me of what you're talking about in my nutrition course right now. It talks about complementary foods, I guess, especially for vegetarians. If, you know, one food may be high in these vitamins and minerals or this protein and others aren't, you know, like rice and beans complement each other very well. So it's kind of what you're talking about, how there is a method to the madness and how the different constituents of these foods complement each other to be a full supportive meal. And then, you know, it's also great to have that variety, because if you are a vegetarian, you don't need the salt fish, but the salt fish is definitely something that gets thrown in there on the regular as well, for sure. Yeah, so kind of coming back around and shifting a little bit away from the food and the herbs and into a little bit of movement, I just wanted to talk about things that you could do in Jamaica and a few specific places you could go. So everyone kind of knows the general destinations, but they still have some great spots. They're touristy for a reason, right? Because there are some good places to see. And one of those places, and I believe it's in Ocho Rios, is Dunn's River Falls and the Blue Hole. And I just bring this up as kind of a way to move, because they have rope swings for you to jump off of. You're having to take this little walk. You're kind of having to balance on slippery rocks, swim kind of in these pools, jump off of things. It sounds like it's just all fun, but that's why your movement doesn't always have to take place in a gym. Mm-hmm. Your movement can be fun. Like, instead of just planning, okay, I'm going to sit on the beach every single day in Ocho Rios, do this little adventure where you have to hold yourself up on that rope, or you have to push yourself up on that rock. Mm-hmm. Just because it's not an hour at the gym where you have dumbbells and barbells in front of you doesn't mean you're not gaining from it. I mean, those are absolutely ways that you could keep the body moving while on vacation. And it's stunning. I mean, like I said, it's a touristy spot for a reason. It's a really, really beautiful spot. And, you know, maybe you just switch up a little bit of your vacation. Some places a little bit more touristy, some not. And speaking of an area that is a little bit less touristy is actually the east coast of Jamaica. And it's around the Portland area, and it's called the Blue Mountains. There's a Blue Mountain Range. Yeah. And coffee comes from there. I mean, like, famous coffee comes from there. Mm-hmm. So you could drive around and find little coffee shops that are just tucked away in the middle of the mountains that are just run by one or two people, you know, obviously family owned. But that mountain range is stunning. Like I said, don't think that Jamaica just has a beach to offer you. They have really beautiful mountainscapes as well. Obviously, you could take those hikes, turn that into part of your movement. If you want a specific resort, there's an amazing resort, and I still get emails from them on a pretty freaking regular basis, so I'm almost certain they're open, because we lived there a few years ago, is Jake's Resort, and it's on the southwest side of Jamaica, so it's away from Montego Bay, it's away from Negril, it's away from Ocho Rios, so you have to go down a bit. And you kind of feel like you're in the middle of nowhere. It's an amazing kind of eclectic resort. But I booked a yoga class there. Mm-hmm. And I was the only one who took it. But it was on this incredible platform. And I actually ended up doing my own workout there, which I'm going to post for you guys. But it was just this one-on-one yoga class. And it was right there on the ocean. And it was so quiet and so peaceful. And even if you're the only one, don't be afraid to book that class. It goes back to that idea of not feeling shame, because you know what's going to make yourself feel good.
Right.
And I don't know who wouldn't feel good doing this. Even if you don't love working out, it's slowing down. It's getting mindful. It's being led by someone in this beautiful location. I mean, I know it's not for everyone, but I just couldn't help but not be inspired. And I couldn't imagine someone else wouldn't feel inspired. by that place. So when I post this video, you'll see where I'm talking about because it's really stunning. If you go to the beach, some extra ideas. I mean, a lot of people think about running or walking the beach, and that's a pretty obvious one. Really great for you. A little bit less impact because you're not on the pavement. But that being said, a little bit more challenge and a little bit more necessity for the stabilizing muscles and the smaller muscles around your ankles and around your knees because you do have that unstable surface. So you may be engaging your core a little bit more. You may be engaging smaller muscles as well as those big powerful muscles when you're running or walking on the beach. But one of my favorite things to do is actually to go right onto the shore where I'm in the water and I kind of plank right where kind of the water and the sand kind of just meet. Well, that doesn't make any sense because there's sand along the entire ocean floor, but kind of where the break is, like, you know, right when you're on the shoreline. And you could go into a plank where you're in forearm. Obviously, I don't think you're afraid of getting wet, so that's not an issue. Mm-hmm. You could do it in straight arm. You could do it with your feet floating, or you could do it with your feet kind of buried into that sand, and you could imagine the waves pooling in and out, so you have that consistent varying resistance against your body that you're trying to stabilize against. So not only does it feel good, but you are working your core, you're working your arms, you're working your legs if you're digging your toes into that sand. So I think it's a really fun way to kind of get some movement in, especially if you just need to cool down for a second and then go back to tanning with sunscreen, of course. <That's so great. laughs> another thing is to kind of paddle against the current. I know that sounds stupid, but you don't realize that those things you're doing for fun are mm-hmm. things that are benefiting you. So why don't you take a couple of those things, do them mindfully, do them with intention, do them in a row. You know, create a little circuit out of them and then go back to enjoying your day. Throwing that frisbee on a beach, literally having to shift in that sand and make quick movements in that sand, that is gonna be great for your body. I used to, Jeff has a lot of energy, especially when he was younger, say. So this sounds kind of funny, but when we would backpack, I would just throw, it was like he was a puppy. I would throw the frisbee as far as I could and he would run and he'd get it. And I was still kind of learning frisbee, so he wouldn't be able to throw it that far back to me. So he'd run back and give it back to me. And I just throw it and I would wear that man out so that he would want to just lay on a beach with me. So it works. I promise you, you could do this for your kids or for your husbands. Keep it in mind. And one of the cool things about the beach is that you may have some things around you that you could use. Think about a coconut. Mm. Instead of using it just for your food or for a refreshing drink, before you break it open, use it as equipment. You could literally throw it up like a medicine ball. You could do staggered push-ups on it. Even if it's not the most resistance, you could maybe hold it up in your palm as if you were holding a bowl of soup and try to balance it on your palm while you're doing squats. Mm-hmm. I'm literally just making this up in my head right now. You could throw it to someone else. I mean, if you do work consistently enough, whether that coconut weighs 2 pounds or 20 pounds, you'll start feeling it, especially if you're moving in sand. Mm-hmm. You could use driftwood. I've done a lot of workouts using driftwood. Especially if you find a piece that's just right, you could use it almost like a barbell. Mm-hmm. Think about shoulder presses, deadlifts, something that you could perform push-ups on. And then again, just using the sand itself, the instability of the sand to engage the core and small muscles of the body. And just have some fun. And if you do find yourself in 9 Mile. Mm. Roxanne is this amazing woman who is this naturopath in Connecticut, but was from Jamaica. And she has now almost moved back to 9 Mile full time and created this eco lodge in 9 Mile. Nice. That is legit. I mean, it is incredible what she has done. We were there in the very beginning helping her with things, and to watch what she's done is so beautiful. So if you wanted to do a farm stay mm-hmm. in 9 Mile, farming is hard as shit.
Yeah.
Half of our workout would be walking to and from the farm. because you'd have undulating surfaces. You'd be going through the bush a little bit. So you had those unstable surfaces. You may have been carrying some tools. When you're on your way back, you may be carrying a load of vegetables that you harvested. Mm-hmm. You know, you're moving earth, you're moving dirt, you're moving water. So do a farm stay, and I guarantee you, you're going to feel like you're working out all the freaking time. And I'll leave you with this, because you could do this in not just Jamaica. I'm not even sure if diving is great in Jamaica, because we didn't do it there. But since we're on the theme of the beaches, mm-hmm. Patty, which is where you usually get certified for diving, estimates that the average shore dive in temperate water can burn up to 600 calories an hour. Mm-hmm. Anyone who has gone diving from the shore would probably say that that is absolutely accurate. Because walking your ass in some sand with all of that equipment and then trying to put on some fins for your feet,
right,
is so exhausting. And then if you throw in a couple rocks, oh my God. And then after you get in from that nice buoyancy and you try to pull your ass out of that water and you feel like you have the weight of the earth on you, because all of a sudden all of gravity is back on your body. Tell me that you are not burning calories. Mm-hmm. Apart from just diving in general, your body's trying to regulate in the water. You are moving. You're breathing deeply. So even a boat dive, a leisurely boat dive in warm water, can burn about 300 calories an hour. So do something fun. Do something exciting. And move your body in a way that's going to leave you feeling good.
Yeah, I love it. I love the fact that now, you know, I'm planning my trip to Jamaica in my head, because
– ooh.
It's so fantastic to go somewhere, to immerse yourself in the culture, to even just cook some of the meals. Like if you're staying somewhere and you maybe have a little kitchenette, go to the local markets, go wherever you need to, you know, make those connections with the locals and incorporate that, and then do all that fun stuff that's going to keep you active. And then you don't have to worry about getting in that strict like gym workout,
mm-hmm.
which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of just making some of the dishes potentially yourself and some of those things, one of the ones that you'll find often in Jamaica is tamarind. So you'll get the seed pods. They have them in the grocery stores and things like that. And to me, you know, they look like a really elongated kind of peanut, but it's not a hard nut inside. It's mm-hmm. more of a pulp. In the States, most likely you're going to find just the pulp in like blocked pressed form. You won't necessarily go into the grocery store here, at least in the Pacific Northwest, and find a lot of tamarind. But it's fantastic when we talk about the phytochemicals and the phenols and everything, the flavonoids. Just getting some of these rich, fresh spices and flavorings into your food is going to make a huge difference when you're talking about whole health. It's got anthocyanins, it's got vitamin C, carotenoids. Now, carotenoids sounds like carrot, and that's because carotenoids are in carrots. It's that kind of orange-brown coloring that goes on sweet potatoes and carrots and all of those things that you'll find in tamarind, which is fantastic, really high in antioxidants, which is good. And, you know, it helps with liver, gallbladder. So you're talking once again about warming the stomach and some of those things to kind of keep things going, which is really great. It's actually been used for pregnancy-related nausea some of the time, just kind of ease that. So think about maybe like a tamarind and ginger kind of mixture for something like that. And the Scotch bonnet pepper. So that's another one.
Talk about that heat.
Yeah. So that's
Scotch
another one.
Bonnet brings
it. The local supermarkets, you'll find those often. So grab some of that, grab some tamarind, maybe make like a stew or something with it. Just remember to remove those Scotch bonnet peppers beforehand, after it's been stewing for a while, because they are spicy, they are hot. And that's just another one, because of the capsaicin and things in the Scotch bonnet pepper. You're going to, even if you take that or any kind of pepper and use it topically in like a rub or something for arthritis, and helps. Yeah. So when you're talking about neuropathy from like diabetics or something like that, you know, incorporating spices and Scotch bonnet peppers and things like that are really great.
Cool.
Just because of the heat that allows, it's really interesting. You know, we were talking about this a second ago, when you're in a really hot environment and then you're taking a lot of things that are spicy, it's actually going to cool your body down, because it's creating mm-hmm. that circulation within your body, which is really important. So, you know, next time you're out in either Jamaica or somewhere else, go to a local kind of market or even just the supermarket and see what kind of local things you can get and make a dish.
Yeah. And if you don't have a supermarket around you and you could just find like an outdoor market or something, or just keep your eyes open too. Ask people around you.
Right.
Scotch bonnet grow so many places. And even if you're in a restaurant, they usually have little hot sauces and stuff that are Scotch bonnet focus that you could buy. So always ways that you could kind of bring the flavor of Jamaica back home with you, which is really great. And with that being said, I have a little story and then we're going to wrap it up. But I think it'll be fun. Most people look at me like I'm crazy. So I'm going to tell you that this story sounds crazy and I get it. And I wouldn't have believed it if I didn't see it, but there's magic out there, my friends. There really is. So we met Roxanne, the woman I told you about who owns the Eco Lodge now in mm-hmm. 9 Mile. And I mentioned that she's a naturopath from the States. We met her a couple days into when we were first starting to live there. And for some reason, we hit it off. And she told us about how she had a brain tumor and that she had gone to this woman in Portland, so in the mountains where I was talking about in the east, where the Maroon people live. And the Maroon people were the essentially kind of the original Jamaicans, so the native Jamaicans. And these Maroon people were the only people in the history of Jamaica that were ever able to keep the British at bay. So the British actually signed a treaty with Nanny. Was that her name? I think so. She was the leader of the Moor people in Jamaica at the time. And she was the only one who was able to defeat them. And now they live kind of with that land being theirs. So they don't have to, they're not considered the same, I guess, as the other people who live in Jamaica, because they got a declaration from the British however many years ago that this part of Jamaica was theirs.
Right. They didn't have any of that colonized influence.
No. So even when you still go there, well, I'll get to that in a second. But so there's this woman who lives there and she is a medicine woman and she has had this gift for her whole life where she cures people of their ailments essentially. And so this woman told us that however many years ago she went from the States with a brain tumor. So she got this x-ray, this scan in the States, went to see this woman in this part of Jamaica, and then when she went back, it was gone. Now, take that with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. She invited us to go with her because she said that she was going back to have just work done. She's close with this community now. She actually helped them get into, I think, as recognized as UNESCO heritage culture, I guess, so that their culture and their way of living doesn't get lost. So she's really close with them now. So for some reason, she invited us. And she told us, I don't know why I'm inviting you guys. I would normally never invite someone that I just met. This place is too special. But she did. And she picked us up bright and early. And then we drove however many hours in this van with her and her family. And then we got there and this was not a tourist spot. It was all local Jamaicans. She saw people in this little room in the back of this church. When we came into the community, they had these big kind of ram horns, I guess, I only know how to call them a shofar, which is what you call it, I think, in Hebrew. But that's how they basically communicate to let people know that someone new is coming into the community, because so many people still live in the mountains. So like kind of hidden away. So we met the chief. We got brought into his home. All these amazing, incredible, authentic experiences happened. And then we waited, no shit, like 14 hours doing nothing, waiting to see this woman. We didn't think we were going to make it. I mean, people were sick all around us. We didn't think we were going to make it. But Jeff was having some back issues. I was having body issues because of my accident. So we were really trying. Plus, this was a once in a lifetime experience. So we were the last people. Jeff did not believe that this would work. Mm-hmm. I went in a little bit more believing because I thought that there could be some jungle magic. Mm-hmm. So I watched him first. Okay, I'll try to make this short. So this woman picks up her sleeves. She's just wearing a dress. She picks up her sleeves. Bare arms are showing. She's probably about 80 years old. She has oil and she has little limes. And she squeezes the lime in the oil and she puts it all over her hands. And she explains to us that this acts as a barrier so that the negative energy or the ailment doesn't then go into her body because she's essentially absorbing it out. So she tells us that she's basically just going to put her hands across the body. We don't tell her a single thing about any issues, nothing. Mm-hmm. And she feels where there is this stagnant or negative energy. So she's, you know, putting her hands through Jeff, closing her eyes. I'm watching. Jeff's kind of just like not knowing what's going on. And she stops on this part of his back. And we had just finished our time in Japan as well, where Jeff got laid out from a back issue. I mean, we literally could not move or do anything for a very long time because of this back issue. And nothing was said to her about this. She goes exactly to that spot. I feel my adrenaline starting to course through my body, actually. So she goes exactly to this spot and she starts rubbing it. Mm-hmm. And she's just rubbing it and rubbing it. And I'm watching her. I mean, I'm right next to her, guys. This isn't like a magic trick off the street. This is jungle magic. There's a difference. And she's rubbing it. And all of a sudden, she just, I don't know if you can hear it.
It kind of snaps.
Yeah, it kind of snaps away from his back. And she opens up her hand. And there is a piece of money. No, it's money. It's Asian money. I took a picture of it. I could try to find it on my phone and I'll try to post it for anyone interested. And at first, we didn't know exactly what it was. She didn't even know what it was. But then we look at it and we start making these connections. We were literally just in Japan. She didn't even know this money came from Japan. Mm. And our mind was just blown. He literally couldn't stand up. We couldn't do anything for days because of this back issue. And then she pulls out Japanese money from his back. What? And then she has to throw it. You know, we can't touch it or anything because then it could get reabsorbed in. And then she does this in other parts. And so basically she just pulls out random objects from your body. Like, I can't even explain this. So then Jeff's still a little bit skeptical, even though this just happened to him. Right. So then she switches to me. So that he could watch, and he's watching intently. I don't say a single thing. I'm wearing pants, keep in mind. So she can't even, and I think I was just able to lift up my pants, but most of my scars and the big, big, big obvious injuries are above my knee, which you can't totally see. So I just pick up my pants, maybe just the bottom part of my knee is showing. But my knee has had massive inflammation ever since my accident. This is years later, but it never stopped. Pain, 24/7, blah, blah, blah. She goes straight to my knee, straight to my left knee. And she just, so the pants are up on both my sides, just to be clear. So it's not like she saw my left leg and didn't go, whatever. So it's up on both. And she starts rubbing it and my eyes are closed, but Jeff is watching. And then she does that little, where she pulls away that little pop. And I feel this link being pulled out of my leg.
Oh my
like
God.
I could feel it. And then I look down at my leg and I think I have a picture of this too. There are actual markings. Like it looked like if someone put a link or chain link against my leg. And she pulls this link out of my leg. And I shit you not, guys, I have had pain since then throughout my whole left side because that's just the nature of my life. I have never had the same pain or inflammation in that knee that I had then. She also, I've had a lot of digestive issues. Mm-hmm. She went straight to my stomach and she pulled a piece of cloth that must have been, I don't know, clogging some shit up. I don't even know how to explain it. Like, I just wanted to share that story.
I think it's fantastic because, you know, me being pagan and being a little more open-minded to some of this stuff and knowing, you know, and we've got in the States appropriation across the board. People have seen these things, they've heard it, they come back and then they create this new way of medicine or whatever it is, you know, Reiki, some of those other things that you can get in these hoity-toity, you know, resorts and whatnot. But it's fantastic, you know, personally for me, I bet I have a bunch of like left socks in my, like, cause
in your body,
you know, like sometimes I'm just like, where the fuck did that sock go? Like, so I'm, yeah, I would just have socks and like random crap pulled out. Like, yeah, I totally, yeah.
I mean, awesome. Not the things don't always pertain to you. Like that money thing was crazy, but like she also pulled a D-ring out, I think from Jeff's ankle, and he has really messed up ankles. And then she pulled like a piece of glass out. I mean, mm-hmm. some crazy shit. And this sounds out of this world, but I just wanted to end this episode with that little story because we went back right before we left as well. Got to see her again. I mean, this was like the most authentic thing I could possibly, I think we got like bathed or cleansed by some women afterwards. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And it just kind of shows you that there is some magic to Jamaica beyond what you would get off of a cruise ship. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those types of trips, but if you look a little bit deeper and if you talk to people and you just get to know them on a different level, amazing things could open up to you in Jamaica because I think it's just one of those places where if you root yourself in, I mean, there is definitely magic in those mountains. And that's what kind of this herbalism and everything is all about. So
I love it.
So with that, peace and love, everyone. We'll see you for our next exciting adventure. Where will we be next?
And just as a reminder, any ideas or topics discussed during this podcast should not be a replacement for any type of medical advice. Although Danielle is a certified trainer and I have a knowledge of herbal medicine, any decision to incorporate an exercise or herbal remedy is always your own.